Pastor. This sermon has been pretty fun to write. I got to do a lot of reflecting over the past year, where I was in January and where I am now in December, and I got to do a lot of reflecting over the past this weekend is the full 6 months here at Catalyst. And it has been amazing. I got to do a ton of fun stuff with these students. I got to go to the Summer in the Sun. I got to do different little parties that we put on. We got to go to Reds games. I got to do FCA for a bunch of different sports teams. I got to watch them play sports. I got to go to a dance recital. It's been a blast, and I can't wait to see what happens in the next 6 months. But while I was reflecting, I came across, and what I've learned in the past 6 months is four different things that I can't wait to share with you guys. And the story that I've landed on is the story of Joshua and Jericho. If you guys want to follow along, it's Joshua 5, 13 through 6:20, if you guys want to follow along in your Bibles or your smartphones. Just to give you a little background of where we are in this story, this is kind of part two of the Exodus story, going into the Promised Land. If you guys remember, when they left Egypt, the Israelites left Egypt, they went to the edge of the Promised Land, and they sent in 12 spies to the Promised Land. And the spies came back, and 10 of them said, no, we should not go in there because there's giants and we'll get slaughtered. And the other two are like, no, we should go in because God is on our side. And since 10 out of the 12 said they shouldn't go in, God punished them with 40 years of wandering in the desert. So at this point, we are at the end of 40 years. They have entered into the Promised Land. Joshua led them into the Promised Land, and they learned from last time. So this time they sent two spies instead of 12. And so they sent the two spies in. They came back and said, yes, we can take this city. So we are in Joshua 5:13, and this is how it starts. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us, or are you for the enemy? Neither, he replied, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. When Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for my servant? So the first thing that I've learned reading this scripture and so far in the 6 months of ministry is prayer. But not just any prayer, it is praying for the right things, the right stuff. In my first 6 months of ministry, I felt a lot like Joshua. He was under two great men, Moses and Aaron, and they were not allowed to enter into the Promised Land, but he got to step up and take his place into being the spiritual head for these people. It kind of reminds me of when we were kind of going through the interview process at Catalyst. I have to give Kaylee a lot of props for not going completely crazy during the interview process of churches. I was interviewing with three or four different churches throughout this side of the United States, and everything just kind of came to a standstill. I wasn't hearing anything back. I couldn't get a hold of the elders at churches or ministers. And I remember getting on my knees, getting face down on the ground and saying, God, I've been extremely selfish during this interview process. I have only looked for things in churches that I wanted, but I'm going to give it all to you. Just place me, put me in a place where I can do ministry. Wherever my abilities will be best suited, please put me in a place that I can serve. And I remember it was like 2 or 3 days before Kaylee graduated. We had to leave Johnson like 2 weeks later, and it was getting a little nervous because we didn't want to move back in with my parents. And so I get a call from John, and he said, the elders and Dave and I have thought about it, and we want to offer you the student ministry position here at Catalyst. And I was like, yes, finally! And he's like, good, so you accept? I was like, I got to convince Kaylee first. And he's like, I'm married. I completely understand. You can do it. And so I went downstairs, and I was like, Kaylee, I think God's calling us to go to Nicholsville and be at a church called Catalyst. And she's like, I know Catalyst. I'm like, good, good. She goes, what's in Nicholsville? And I'm like, I don't know, but we're going to find out. So we packed up all our things and we went. We just did what God called us to do. So what I've learned in just that little part of ministry is that when you fall face down on the ground, God will call you to do amazing things. And there is nothing there is nothing that he will give you if you don't fall face down. You have to give everything to him. If we continue on with the story, it says, God said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all its armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sounding the long blast on the trumpets, have all your men give a loud shout. When the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." The second thing that I've learned in ministry so far in this 6 months is having faith that God's plan is the right plan. We need to remember that our plans and God's plans don't always intertwine when we want them to. In fact, most of the time when God tells you to do something, it doesn't make any logical sense at all. When you read this story, marching around a city for 6 straight days and then on the 7th day marching around 7 times isn't the best battle plan if you think about it. Can you imagine if our president was like, "This is how we're going to beat ISIS. We're going to march around them for 6 straight days and they'll just fall." No, it doesn't make any sense. And just to give you a few examples of, there's a lot of things in Catalyst history that don't make any sense. Things that God has called us ministers to do. Just to give an example, me and Kaylee moving to Lexington just for a part-time position here at this church. Kaylee didn't have a job. I didn't have another job. If you think about Dave, he left his church in Lexington to come to Nicholsville to plant a church with no guarantee that it would work. If you look at John, he moved from Wisconsin to here with no guarantee of pay or that the church would be successful. If you look at Edwina, after a year of Catalyst, she left everything to become full-time here at Catalyst with no pay. If you think about that, that doesn't make any sense. And if you remember in the 48 Days videos, Dave talked about what it would look like if God's plan became our plan. What would happen in our lives? He talked about how you would have to give up your money, your time, your family, everything you would have to give up so that God's plan could happen. If I was Joshua, this would probably be one of the most difficult parts of this ministry, because you would have to go to your people and try to convince them that this plan is the right plan. And the best part about it is that they dropped everything to follow God. Now, I'm going to have to brag on you guys for a little bit because it's so encouraging. The most encouraging part about our ministry is hearing what you guys do on a week-to-week basis. It's so encouraging when you hear people getting baptized, doing foster care, adoption, taking care of inmates' families. And the best part for me is when I ask my students to serve, they say, "Absolutely." That is the most joy that we get as being ministers. And the best part is that we get to see you accepting that God's plan is the right plan. If we continue on with the story, it says, "So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have the 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it.' And he ordered the people, 'Advance, march around the city with the armed guards around, going ahead of the Ark of the Lord.' When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the seen trumpets before them, the armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. At this time, the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, 'Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voice, do not say a word until I tell you to shout, then shout.' So they had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it. When the people returned to the camp, then the people returned to the camp and spent the night there, and they continued to do this for 6 straight days." So the third thing that I have learned in the past 6 months of ministry is God's plan requires an extreme amount of faithfulness. This is the part of ministry and the part of life that a lot of people give up on. The hardest part of ministry, and really the hardest part of anything, is faithfulness. You always start out with something, it's good, it's fun, it's exciting. You can call it the honeymoon stage of anything. But at some point, there will be a time when faithfulness is the only thing that you are holding on to. If you think about a teacher, I know that my wife, I remember the point when she realized that the only thing that she had left was faithfulness. I remember her coming home saying, man, this job is hard, this is difficult, I'm broken for these kids, they're in terrible life situations, but I have to get up every single day because I have to be faithful to my ministry. It's extremely encouraging when I see you guys, the stories that you guys have to go through and how you guys are being faithful in foster care and adoption every single week. But just to give a little insight of my ministry, faithfulness in my ministry I thought was going to kick in after 3 weeks of being with these students. We went to Summer in the Sun, and I somehow convinced these students to play dodgeball. I forced, apparently. Nobody wanted to play dodgeball, but it doesn't make any sense. So I made them play dodgeball. And we get there, and we actually win our first match. We played this small little church, I think from Ohio or something, and we beat them, and we're like, wow, we might be able to do this. So we're waiting around, and the next church we play against is some mega church from Indiana, and they rolled in there with like 150 students and picked out their six best and played us, and they're picking us off one after another. And there was one student of mine that made it known that she did not want to play this, and I'm not going to give any names, but she's a 16-year-old redhead. And I remember they were just picking us off one after another, and this ball flies and drills her in the back, and she comes up to me and goes, I cannot believe you made me play this stupid game, and walks off. Man, faithfulness is hard. Man, but can you imagine what those people were thinking if you were in their shoes? Going back to the camp night and night, day after day, and just looking around and be like, is something going to happen? We've been marching around the city for six straight days and nothing has happened. Faithfulness, if you look over and over again in the scriptures, is very difficult. If you look at Paul's writing, he refers to our life, this lifelong faithfulness, as fighting the good fight, or he refers to it as running a race. Your walk with Christ is the most important thing in your life. And we need to continue to be faithful even when it's confusing or difficult. So I'd encourage you guys throughout your life, throughout your ministry, continue to be faithful because God will continue to be faithful. If we continue in the story, it says, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. Except on that day, they circled around the city seven times. The seventh time around, the priest shouted the trumpet's blast. Joshua commanded his people, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. And if we jump down to verse 20, it says, when the trumpets sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpets, when the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. When you follow through with God's plan, He will always be faithful. This is an extremely encouraging part of the story because after marching over and over again, God was faithful at the end. In fact, if you look at other stories in the Bible, all the Old Testament stories and even some of the new ones, this format, these four things, happen in every single one of these stories. And I think the reason that this happens is because God does not want it to be difficult for you all to be in communion with Him. If you look at mine, Dave, John, and Winna's story, we all have the exact same story. We have all at one point gotten on our knees asking God for His plan. We have all received God's plan, and through that we have been faithful. In fact, if you look into your own lives and your own ministries, a lot of you guys have done the exact same thing. We need to be receiving of God's plan. We need to be faithful through His time, through rough times. And because of that, this church has been extremely blessed. I remember just a few weeks ago, all of the staff, we had breakfast together, and normally during staff meetings, we talk about Sunday and how what went well and if there's little tweaks that we need to make. But this one was so encouraging because Dave sat down and said, we have so much to be thankful for. And that's true. Looking at you guys every week, hearing story after story, it's so encouraging hearing what you guys do. And I want to thank you for making our job so joyful because of that. It's been a huge blessing to be a part of this church the past 6 months. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come to your church and serve alongside with you. I've asked a few of my students to come up and kind of share how their last year of ministry has been. So if you guys would come up. I've asked them to, you might know some of them, you might not, but Colby. We don't use stairs in the ministry. So if you guys would you guys just introduce yourself? Maybe how long you've been coming to Catalyst?
I'm Casey Kibler, and I've been at Catalyst since day one.
I'm Colby Jordan. I've been coming here since, I think, around fifth grade summer, which is 3 years ago, maybe.
I'm Robbie Williams. I've been here since day one.
Nice. So I've been talking with you. I've been with you guys for 6 months, and I've seen you guys grow an extreme amount in the past 6 months. But I just want you guys to share one thing or a few things that you have grown in the past year. What's different now than now last year?
Well, I would say that I've changed a lot just becoming more mature, but in combination with Rob and my family's mission trip to India, I would say that my sense of patience and relationships with other people have gotten better. I'm not as mean anymore. And I'm not as mean anymore, and I have a bigger appreciation for people who don't necessarily live their lives like with a schedule to a T, because Rob is so laid back. So I think that he's transferred that a little bit over to us, and that we've all just kind of chilled and just let God take whatever he's going to take and just kind of have fun along the way. So that's what's changed for me.
Thank you.
I think one of the biggest things that I've grown in is I've been more willing to let the Holy Spirit guide me in everything I do, my actions, and ways I handle problems like anger and frustration. I've been able to handle those a little bit less extreme, a little bit more laid back, and just been more willing to have the Holy Spirit guide me.
Throughout my time here, I've felt more of a calling from God to just do some things. I mean, I've gone on a few mission trips, which were awesome. Those were great. And along the way, I just felt God talking to me and that he's been walking with me more, and that my relationship's going pretty well, growing. So I don't have much to say.
Perfect. I want to ask one more question. What is your best experience in youth group so far in the past year?
Hands down, Summer in the Sun. It's a week in the summer. There's like a high school week and then a middle school week, and we go to this little tiny college that JK went to called Kentucky Christian University in Grayson, Kentucky. It's in the middle of nowhere. And we are there for a week with a bunch of other churches, and it's really awesome, and it's just so fun. So that was probably my favorite experience. But then I had the biggest honor, I mean really monumental, of spending an entire week with Rob as another adult at the middle school week, which was really awesome to be able to just kind of see that's where I was a few years ago, and here I am now getting to make a difference in younger people's lives here at church. So those are my best experiences.
Probably my favorite thing was Summer in the Sun. It was the best thing I've done this year for youth.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing else can be said.
Summer in the Sun. It really is the best thing we've probably done this entire year. It's the biggest worship event for youth you could imagine. It's huge, as basically the entire worship area is filled. Every seat is packed. There's a bunch of people screaming worship for God. It's awesome, and there's a lot of other fun stuff to do, so Summer of the Sun is the best.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for sharing your experience so far in youth group and how you guys have changed over the past year. You guys have been a huge blessing in my life and students in the audience as well. I can't wait to see what the next 6 months, year, few years is going to happen in your lives. So thank you guys. All right, I got one more thing. No stairs. Got it. The mature one does. Guys, thank you so much for being a blessing in my life in the past 6 months. This is my first ministry as a youth minister or student minister, and you guys have made my job so easy and a joy to be a part of this church. I want to pray for you guys as 2016 starts. So some of the old ministries will continue and some of new ministries will start. So if you guys would join me in prayer, that would be great. Dear Heavenly Father,